Parent Show, sponsored by Raydon Solicitors, award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raydonsolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I am Lydia El-Khoury.
And good evening, everybody. I am Seema Barker, delighted to be with you this evening, as always. And we are approaching summer. We've had some summer weather. Lydia, how are you feeling?
A lot better since the sun came out, I have to say. That feels like the longest winter ever. And spring, what am I talking about? But it's great. Yeah, it's great to see a bit of sun, great to feel a bit of, you know, heat in the bones. So, yeah I think and everything feels a lot more manageable now. And of course, like Monday, big announcement, the restrictions weren't lifted won't be lifted on June 21st as we'd hoped. But to be honest with you, I don't know that that's going to impact on me personally. Seema, how about you?
Well, I mean, I suppose that it's a funny one, isn't it? There was that stage where everybody knew exactly what the restrictions meant. And now I'm ashamed to say I slightly fall into that category of unsure how it's going to affect certain things. So, I mean, I suppose as a parent, I'm thinking it's going to affect all of those parents that have got teenagers that might be leaving school in year 11 this year or year 13. And they will have had perhaps graduation ceremonies and proms. Those kids, I suppose, who are leaving primary school in year 6, are their leavers parties definitely going to be going ahead?
Yeah.
So I think it's a little unclear on how those things are going to be affected. So there is an impact on parents, and it's a shame, especially for those who are leaving schools, because obviously they've had a difficult time of it and not had the same experience that they would have had. And they were probably looking forward to at least having a bit of a party at the end.
Yeah, it's all those transitions, isn't it? The big transitions, they're the ones who you kind of feel most sorry for, because they don't have the clarity, you know, and it's tough, and it's been a tough year. The thing is, at least they can do something, you know, at least they can meet outdoors up to 30. And yeah, but it's not ideal.
No. Well, let's hope, fingers crossed, that, there will be some sort of celebratory affair for them all. And then also things are back to normal for them wherever they are in September, whether they're going on to university or to sixth form colleges or any other colleges or big school, as I still like to refer to secondary school.
Yeah.
And of course, what are the other things that people are doing? Trying to book their staycations probably now?
That's if there's anything left in the country. I mean, just on the grapevine, I've heard that the place is booked out. You know, it looks like, of course, everybody will find somewhere. But yeah, it doesn't look like foreign travel or travel outside the UK is going to be possible. But it does look like all the summer camps are really up and running and taking bookings now. So that's a brilliant consolation. Like the fact that you can all the great services that are provided locally are up and running. And actually another bit of good news is that the print version of Raring to Go is out.
Fantastic. That's good.
It is. So, I mean, that's a little Bible on everybody's worktop, isn't it? Where you just kind of flick through and find out what's going on. So, and I think Raring to Go is a great place to look at for all the summer clubs as well. Claire Healy usually has a section on that. So that'll help you kind of decide where to park your kids over the summer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. We're going to have to have a slightly different view on this summer, aren't we? We're not going to be going away as much as we would ordinarily have done. Perhaps because of the bookings have gone so quickly, we might not even be able to have holidays with families like we might have done before, because of course there's going to be less of those larger properties available around the country, and so we're going to need to think more locally. And we are unbelievably lucky being so close to London, which means we can do all of those London day trips. And I did see something on the regional news the other day about how, you know, Madame Tussauds, which usually has a massive queue around the corner, now of course is the year to go. It's the year to avail yourself of that stuff, because we won't have to compete with all of the tourists from the other countries that would usually be here. So that is an advantage as well, I think.
Yeah.
But you're right. Also, it's all the local stuff. Yeah, we're going to get used to seeing a lot more of Hertfordshire, I think.
Indeed. And as every crazy parent does, we're coming up to school report time, end of school year. And what are we all thinking about? Uniforms for September.
Oh, we so are. Yeah, absolutely. And I have got one of my brood going up to secondary school. So I have been thinking about all, you know, what is going to happen with the local uniform suppliers. I know that some of them have got different ideas in place this year. They've got allocated weeks for particular schools. It might be something worth bearing in mind if you're a parent of a child that's going up to a secondary school. You might need to book an appointment. You might need to see if there's a particular week that you need to go. And also don't forget that if you are in search of details on all of that stuff, you can go onto the school website and that almost definitely will have a PDF document or something that will tell you exactly what the uniform requirements are. I think the kids are all a bit lax about that now because they've been homeschooling for a bit and it's summer and they're probably thinking, oh, uniform's not as important as it used to be.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, but the book stops with us, doesn't it? You know, and we've got to get these things sorted. So those kind of changes can make a big difference with uniform suppliers, because I've been caught short a few times. I don't know about you, Seema, where I kind of think my kids never stop growing. That honestly, they don't do growth spurts, and as a result, I have to get the uniform as close to the start of term as possible, which isn't always easy with the uniform suppliers, because they tend to buy on order.
Yeah, you know, it's a tricky one. And also with school shoes as well. I have been caught out on school shoes before, not being in, leaving it to mid-August and then not being able to find anything that my kids wanted.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, kind of buckles was an absolute no-no that year. And could I find a pair of shoes in their size without buckles? No, I couldn't. So yeah, you're right. Probably need to start turning our minds to that now.
Get it out of your head.
Yeah, exactly. Then you can park it. Now, apart from that, what else are we going to be talking about today, Lydia?
So on the show this week, later on, we're going to be speaking to Lena Gardner, who's a senior associate at Raiden Family Law Firm here in St. Albans, about something called collaborative law. I don't know about you. It's brand new to me. I didn't know anything about it. And I have to say, I'm dying to learn from Lena about the whole concept of collaborative law. But before then, we're really, really delighted to welcome David Bevan from Best Theatre. I think everybody knows Best Theatre, a fantastic local company who are providing arts and entertainment for children. I didn't realise they started so young, from 3 months right up actually even to adults now. So we'll be talking to David Bevan first and then Lena Gardner later on in the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's going to be a great show. It's great to be showcasing something that kids actually can do this summer and ongoing. And also just thinking about all of the arts and everything that's around right now. I know that the Roman Theatre in Verulamium has got shows on, and I have to say I did go and see Comedy of Errors last week. I can recommend it. It was an absolute hoot, absolutely brilliant, and what a brilliant location. So yeah, I suppose we're not used to going out as much now either, so we probably need to ramp that up again and support all of our local festivities that are coming up soon.
Absolutely. So stay tuned here on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. We're delighted to have you with us. Two great guests coming up, all local, all wonderful, wonderful people from St. Albans. Stay tuned. A very warm welcome to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia El-Khoury. And on tonight's show, I'm really, really pleased to introduce our first guest. It's Lena Gardner, and she's a senior associate at Raiden Family Law Firm here in St. Albans. And Lena is going to be talking to us this evening about collaborative law. So, Lena, thank you for joining us on the Parents Show. How are you doing?
Good, thank you, Lydia. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. So I have to say, collaborative law, it's new to me. And for others, for other parents out there who are listening, can you tell us what is collaborative law?
Yeah, sure. So collaborative law is a specific way of resolving issues on divorce or separation. So, for example, sorting out the finances, working out the arrangements for the children, and so on. So it's very different to the traditional divorce model, because what happens is that each party, so usually, say, the husband and the wife or civil partners or separating unmarried couples, will each have their own collaboratively trained solicitor, such as myself. And matters will be resolved by what we call four-way meetings. So both of the parties and their lawyers will meet either face-to-face or remotely in this day and age to talk and to sort out the issues that they're facing on divorce or separation. So hence the term collaborative law, because everybody is working together collaboratively to find a solution to the issues that they face.
Already you've kind of painted a very positive picture for me, like, and for our listeners, that people are sitting down and they're talking, which is, I think, when people are thinking and talking about divorce, what people hope for. I think nobody wants to end up wrangling. So this is, it sounds like a very positive avenue to explore. So can you tell us a little bit, for a layperson like myself, what's the difference then between collaborative law and, say, mediation?
So collaborative law and mediation share the same goals and the same aims, which is sorting things out in an amicable way, if possible, keeping channels of communication open and working together, not against one another. But in terms of the way that they work, they are quite different. So with mediation, the parties attend mediation with one neutral mediator who is there to guide the discussions. So for some people, that can be quite daunting, because often they'll be there on their own, you know, with their ex-partner. They won't necessarily have their lawyer there, although that is sometimes possible. So for some people, that is a little bit daunting. Now, with collaborative law, both parties will have their lawyer with them there at those meetings at all times. So that is quite a fundamental difference.
Yeah, I can see that would make quite a difference. And it must mean that, I suppose, you know somebody's there to speak for you if you kind of forget or fudge your words or, you know, are having a bad day.
Absolutely. Yeah. You've got your lawyer there by your side to support you, to guide you, to work with you. So, yeah, it is a very supportive process.
That sounds great. And it sounds like it also, because there's extra people in the room, it's probably less likely to get heated. So it's.
Absolutely. I mean, I think anybody that chooses a collaborative process goes into it with a degree of goodwill and a degree of good faith, and there has to be some shared goals for the family as a whole. So in that respect, it is a very positive process, and the aim of it and the way it works means that there is less scope for argument and acrimony and dispute because everybody's trying to work together for the benefit of the whole family.
Great. And you said you used a lovely phrase there, shared goals. And I love the idea of that, because, again, it's just putting a positive slant on something that can be perceived as negative. How do you go? Are the goals established before the process or during the process?
Yeah, it's a really good question, actually. I mean, I'd say that's a bit of both. But one way that the collaborative process can, stays on track throughout it, is that right at the beginning, the parties and their lawyers come up with something called an anchor statement. And that's something that they write together in a collaborative way that effectively sets out the aims, the goals, the ground rules, you know, the things that are really important to both parties. And that's something that can be referred back to throughout the process, because, you know, we can't be under any illusions. It's not an easy process. Ultimately, it's still two people separating or divorcing with lots of difficult and tricky issues to sort out. But having that anchor statement, again, it's a very positive thing because it brings everybody back to the overarching aims and goals of this process.
Yeah, exactly. And it reminds you why you're doing what you're doing and reminds you what the most important things are.
Definitely.
And can goals change as you go along? Do anchor statements change?
I think that's one of the great things about the process, is it is very flexible and it's very tailored. So, you know, there's no fixed outcomes. Everything can be on the table and everything can be talked about in a really open way without there being any consequences to that. So that is a great thing about this process, is it is very flexible and very tailored, because every family is so different. And it's creative and it's holistic.
Yeah. And so can you tell us where does the emphasis lie when you're talking about collaborative cases?
So fundamentally, the emphasis lies on finding an outcome that works for the benefit of the whole family. And that includes any children of the family as well. So rather than people feeling pitted against each other and having very different kind of positions and different interests, we strip all of that away and we look at finding an outcome that works for everybody. So that's really the fundamental emphasis. And it's about communicating, keeping channels of communication open and having grown-up, sensible discussions, and, you know, minimizing lawyers' letters flying backwards and forwards, and all of the stress and the cost and the delay that comes with that. We strip all of that away and it's about talking.
Brilliant. And how often would meetings be? I guess I'm asking you one of those how long is a piece of string questions, but roughly.
Yeah, I mean, every case is very different. Again, it can, you know, this process can be so tailored to the individual family. Most cases can probably be resolved in something like 4 or 5 meetings, and they might be sort of several weeks apart, maybe 2 to 4 weeks apart each. So as a whole, you're probably looking at a process of several months. If a case is particularly complex or tricky, that timescale could be a bit longer. Equally, if it's relatively straightforward and there's a lot of agreement from the outset, then it could be shorter. But it's certainly much, much quicker than court proceedings.
I didn't realise this. So this is completely in place of a court proceeding.
Absolutely. So one of the fundamental principles of collaborative law is that the parties sign a participation agreement at the outset. And one of the things that they pledge to do is not go to court. And if the process breaks down and the parties do end up needing to go to court, they will not be able to retain the same collaborative solicitors that they have had during the process, which may sound strange, but the reason behind that is it gives everybody an incentive to sort things out within the collaborative process.
So can you break that down for me? So if the process does break down, you can't stay with your original lawyer, is it, or solicitor?
That's right. So in the pure collaborative process, that's a fundamental principle in order to incentivize everybody to stick to the process and to reach a resolution, because nobody wants to have to walk away and find a new solicitor and effectively start all over again. Now, there are different kind of what we call lighter collaborative options as well, where, for example, you could sort of water down that principle and say, well, actually, if it breaks down, let's not have to dump our lawyers. Let's say that we can keep our solicitors. But that isn't a principle of the pure collaborative process.
So if your solicitors did leave the process, does that mean somebody else intervenes to find the solution and to reach goals?
So, you know, the two people going through divorce or separation, would their relationship with their solicitor would end at that point, and they would need to find new lawyers to take them forward in the court process. But that's a really rare occurrence, because this process has such a high level of success, such a high rate of success. So most cases, you know, they will be resolved successfully. Very few will end up breaking down and having to go on to court.
I think that's probably great news for people who are parents out there who are separated and who are looking down the road to divorce, that there is a new avenue. And I have to say, I'd never heard of collaborative law and this approach to separation. So it sounds really positive. And you said, so it avoids going to court. And is the process shorter?
It is shorter. It's much, much shorter than the court process. Unfortunately, at the moment, there are severe delays within the court process. You will often be waiting 4, 6, even 8 months for a hearing in court, which is really stressful. It can, you know, time is cost, and it just draws out what is already a really difficult process. With collaborative law, you're fully in control of the process. So you're not waiting for a court to give you a date. You are in control of the process. So it's much, much quicker.
That's fantastic. And obviously, you know, if you've set your meeting date with your lawyer and or your collaborative law meeting, you know, if you're having a really bad week, you can postpone it. Whereas obviously if you're, you know, if you've got a court case, you've got to take what you're given and be glad to get it, I guess.
Absolutely. With the court process is very, very rigid. You know, if you wanted to move a court date for any reason, you would have to have the permission of the court, or you would have to agree it with the other party. It's very rigid, and court deadlines are hard deadlines. With the collaborative process, it's not like that at all. You're in control of the process. It's very flexible. It's very tailor-made. And you're in control, and, you know, you're empowered.
Excellent. So you mentioned some words related to the kind of court process about parties being pitted against each other. And I think that's exactly what I picture when I think of divorce, that the system also often does pit people against each other. And it leads us down a road of using language like conflict resolution. And so I'd love to talk to you about that, about conflict resolution within collaborative methods or mediation, because when we hear kind of conflict resolution, we actually think of war, don't we? And obviously divorce is nothing like war, but how do those concepts get ironed out within the process of collaborative methods?
So with the collaborative method, one of the kind of fundamental principles from the outset is it's not about taking positions. So it's not about one party, or, you know, say the husband having a certain fixed position or an idea, and the wife having a very different position or idea, and then the lawyers running with those positions. It's not like that. So we take away that confrontational, positional way of looking at divorce, and we look at it in a much more holistic way. And we look at the bigger picture, and where do they want to be at the end of this? You know, if they have children, how important is it to them to maintain some kind of co-parenting relationship, some kind of communication for the benefit of those children? And for most couples, that is a really, really important thing. So it's far from being a war or a conflict. Of course, it's not an easy process. There may be times when discussions become very difficult, when there are disagreements, when perhaps people feel like they have reached a stalemate. But it's about looking at it creatively and overcoming those hurdles.
And is collaborative law a relatively new concept? Is it growing? Tell us a little bit about how it fits into the bigger picture of family law.
Yeah, so in the bigger picture, it's a relatively new process. It originally came out of Australia and it's very, very popular in America. So it's been over in the UK for quite some time now, but it's something that's been gathering growing momentum. It's not suitable for everybody. So, you know, one of the really important things is for the lawyer, so for me, to discuss with my client whether or not this process is suitable for them right at the beginning of their case, because it's not going to be suitable for everybody. But in, you know, it is suitable in many, many cases, and it's a really positive way of sorting things out on divorce and separation.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's built on a shared goal or goals means from the onset it's going to be on a more positive footing, it feels, from my perspective. And if there are any parents out there who are separating and trying to navigate the process, what would you say is the first? Because if collaborative law resonates with them and they think, yeah, this sounds like the kind of avenue, you know, I want to do this in good faith, the outcome needs to be positive for the whole family, what would you advise them to do?
So the first step I would always say is to look on the Resolution website. So Resolution is a national association of family lawyers who are members of the organisation and sign up to a code of conduct. And on the Resolution website, there are lots and lots of useful resources. And there's also a Find a Solicitor search tool. And you can search within your geographical area and you can search for a collaboratively trained solicitor. And that will bring up a list of all of the collaboratively trained solicitors in your area. Equally, you can search for mediators on that website as well. And that would, for me, would always be the first step, because that's such a useful website and such a useful resource for people that are right at the outset of the process.
Excellent. And of course, if you're in St. Albans and you're a St. Albans parent, you're at Raiden Family Law Firm here in St. Albans, and we have we will be popping the website. But just for anybody who's listening in, can you give us the website, please, Lena?
Yeah, sure. So our website is www.raidensolicitors.co.uk. We've got a really large team of lawyers at Raidens. We're all specialist family lawyers. In terms of the collaborative process, we've now got 4 trained collaborative lawyers, including myself, at various levels of seniority within the firm. So we have a really big team. We've got mediators, we've got arbitrators. So we cover the whole spectrum.
And of course, like every process, everybody's got their own personality that comes to it. And it really feels like there's a different approach for every different kind of personality.
That's right. And we offer a fixed fee meeting, so an initial meeting that normally lasts an hour to an hour and a half at a fixed price. And that meeting is really, really useful, because within that meeting, you can discuss, you know, with the solicitor that you meet with, all of the different options, all the different processes, and get a really good idea at the outset of what may or may not be suitable in your particular case.
Fantastic. Lena Gardner, Senior Associate at Raiden Family Law Firm here in St. Albans. Thank you so much for joining us on The Parents Show.
Thanks for having me, Lydia.
Hello and a very warm welcome to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia El-Khoury.
And hello, I am Seema Barker, and delighted to be here this evening with a very local guest, Lydia, who you can introduce for us.
Yeah, we're delighted to have David Bevan, who's the co-founder and owner of Best Theatre. I'm sure you've all heard of it. So we're delighted to have David on the show. David, Hi. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. Very busy. Very good.
Busy is good.
Yes, busy is always good.
Listen, tell our listeners who might know about Best Theatre, tell us a little bit about your company.
Okay, we're a part-time theatre arts school for children. We were founded nearly 24 years ago now, hence the grey hair. And we provide classes for children 0 to 3 years with the Best Beans, from 3 years to 5 years with First Class, from 6 to 16 with our Best School of Musical Theatre, and from 8 to 18 with our School of Acting. We also do classes now for adults.
I didn't know about the adults. And of course, I mean, I know about Best Theatre for years. You've a fantastic reputation as a local local community service as well as a company. So talk to us about the last 18 months. How would you describe it? Bit bumpy?
It's been an immensely challenging but creative opportunity that I think we've done an awful lot of very, very clever things, some very well and some just learning as we go along. So from the moment they announced the lockdown, so March the 16th, the day before was our last day in the theatre with one of our shows. And we thought something was going to happen. We managed to get the show across the line. And then the next day, everything stopped. 2 days later, we were up online with Zoom and doing our first film project.
You're kidding. Within 2 days?
Within 2 days.
That's amazing.
And then from then on, for the next 18 months, I think we did something like 23, 24 different film projects. We've taken all of our classes online and pretty successfully, I think it's fair to say. I think the kids who came along to those had a very different experience to how they were working online with their schools. So it was a really lovely thing to be able to do. When we came to the summertime last summer, we usually have summer academies, summer courses during the summer holidays. And at that time, the restrictions were being eased. And that led to 3 weeks of the most extraordinary creativity. We couldn't go in the theatre, so we had to invent ways of performing around the Sandringham School campus where we were based. So doing three promenade concerts around the campus over the three of the hottest weeks we can ever remember was an amazing experience for us and the very large number of kids who attended. So it's been, you know, looking back, we've done some very, very clever things. The nice thing, we've got all sorts of memories because we've got the films to watch that we made with the kids. And now we're back face to face.
And of course, if you're talking about performing arts, going online is actually just another element to the art form, isn't it? So it's actually...
It is, and it's a different way of communicating that we hadn't expected to have to do. And you know, if you're studying film and TV, of course, it's the sort of thing that you do talk about a great deal. But here we are talking about trying to get 40 or 50 people online at the same time, being creative, being able to contribute, learning how to listen to each other online, how to be open and honest online. And I think it's contributed tremendously well to the mental well-being of the kids who've been involved. It's kept them in touch with their friends from our usual classes, friends that they don't usually see at school because they might go to different schools. It's given them a hub and a place to be where they can be safe and happy online. And hopefully, we think, over the summer, it's been a bit of a glue for them. Mm. And certainly we've heard from, you know, a number of the parents to say it's been the thing that's kept them really sort of happy and bubbling over the course of the last 18 months.
Yeah, well, I can testify to that, as one of my brood does attend, as you know, David, and I can tell you, actually, I mean, I know an awful lot of businesses had to do this kind of thing, but the speed with which all of the activities were adapted, and then actually, I think as parents, the speed at which you see your children adapt to that and, right, okay, well, that's not the way we're used to doing it, but look, it's here and we'll do it like this. And we see the same familiar faces that we're used to. And it's fun and engaging in a different way than we're used to. But that's also a great skill for them, I think, and the regularity of that. Because, of course, homeschooling was tough on a lot of kids. So it was that. You're quite right to suggest that it was different from homeschooling. And of course, with some of the younger kids, they don't have phones, so they couldn't keep in touch with their friends through that they would have had through Best. So I think you're quite right to talk about how many different things that were put on and then how good that was for everybody. So what about now then? Where are we now? What are you up to now? Is everything's open back up, has it, for Ben?
Everything's back open. We are still running with COVID safe restrictions regarding social distancing, which means we mark everywhere out with cones every week. And from a creative point of view, it's getting quite frustrating not to be able to, you know, just get back to normal with just building normal shows in the normal way. But, you know, we are back face to face. We've got the distancing in place. We'll keep that going until the restrictions eventually do ease. The kids have been fantastic about it. Again, to be honest, it's probably been easier for them to adapt than it has for the adults. During the lessons, we're sort of conscious of the fact we're trying to find ways of them staying close together without actually being physically close together. So again, it's providing us some interesting challenges, particularly in rehearsals for the showings that they're going to be doing at the end of the term.
Yeah, of course. So they've got shows coming up at the end of term. Hmm. Some of those are going to be external as well.
Well, they're all external. They're all part of our Best Fest festival. It's coming up on the 17th of July. So Best Fest is something we've never done before. I don't think it's been done in St Albans before, and I've never really heard of anything similar elsewhere either, so it's a bit of a first. But the idea behind it is for all of our best kids, and in fact any child at all and family in St Albans who wants to come in and join in, to have a day of celebration. For the fact that we're all getting through all of this together. It's a day of theatre, song, dance, circus workshops, shows, all kinds of things, theatrical, that people can come along and watch and join in with. And just to have a day when we can all celebrate the fact that we're all creative animals, that we can all do things that we never thought were possible. And we can all be together again. It was planned that originally that the lockdowns would have completely eased by then. So the announcement on Monday evening that the restrictions are going to last for another 4 weeks puts a little bit of a spanner into the works, in that it means that we're 2 days short of that when our festival is on. But we will continue undaunted. It just means that we have to organise a little bit better. We have to perhaps ask people who are coming along just to organise a little bit better. But it won't spoil the fun. That's the main thing.
It sounds fantastic. I'm going to rewind there a little bit, David. Circus?
Circus. Go. Well, the whole thing, the vast majority of the festival is going to be outdoors. So we have three large tents, one sort of big circus tent and two other largish tents in which we will be holding sort of performances, showings. There's a comedy cafe element. There's an improvisation lab for those who want to come along and have a go at instant devising, which is tremendous fun.
Awesome.
We're going to have some workshops for circus skills so kids can come along and, you know, learn how to juggle, learn how to do high wire walking. They won't be very far off the ground. So trapeze work, all kinds of different circus skills with the Fantastico Circus Workshops, a great company we like to be associated with. Our teachers will be there with some acting workshops for all sorts of ages, from the 3 to 5s. We'll have their own little sessions. We've even got some for our toddlers, our 3 months to 3 years olds. There'll be singing workshops too, so we'll be able to learn a song in half an hour and sing it out for everybody. All kinds of things. There'll be food, there'll be drinks, and it should all be wonderful. It's all at Beaumont School.
That's amazing. So tell our listeners the date. Did you say the 17th of July?
The 17th of July, yeah. It's a Saturday. It runs from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. The only cash involved is a £3 payment for a wrist, so we can give you a wristband just to show that you've registered, and we can get your we're able to communicate to book people in for their workshops, which we'll have to do now as a result of the restrictions still staying on. So it's just £3 per person, and then after that, all of the activities there are free.
That's amazing. That's really, what a fantastic offering for young people. And it really, I suppose, for those who might not necessarily know if the arts are for them, this must be a great opportunity to just test that out.
Absolutely, yeah. There's no better way to come along, just give it a go. The whole thing about the best ethos is that, you know, it should be open for everybody and that everybody should have equal opportunities. But we know that there's lots of kids who've never had a chance to do anything like this before. And we'd love to see them. Don't have to have any experience at all. And we'll, you know, whatever level of experience you are, you'll have a great time. That's the plan.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it sounds absolutely fantastic and actually a great antidote to the end of term when things it'll be a great outlet, won't it, for children just as they're heading into the summer holidays.
Yeah, and hopefully by then we'll know that the restrictions are actually going to be coming off on the 19th of July and we can celebrate that just a couple of days in advance. That's all.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, also it's just the celebration of summer, isn't it? I mean, it is the kind of thing that I think families love doing, which is just everybody do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's lovely sunshine, food outside. I mean, it is exactly what makes summer feel so such a wonderful time, and just before the end of school. So that is really good. And tell us again, David, where is that going to be taking place?
So it's at Beaumont School, and it'll be taking place on their playing fields and in some of the buildings inside on the campus. So it's right across Beaumont School on the 17th of July between 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. And anybody who needs tickets just goes to ticketsource.co.uk/bestfest. So that's ticketsource.co.uk/bestfest.
Great. Well, we'll shout about that on our Facebook page as well. So let's move on to the coming year. So have you had any kind of COVID learns that have actually enhanced the school's offering, or
I think so. Yeah, I think the main thing we've learned from it is not to limit some of our thinking. To give you a good example, the summer academies that we ran last summer that we eventually held outside, I think were probably our most successful academies ever. And we've always traditionally, and we will be this summer probably, used the theatre, mostly the Sandpit Theatre, as our place where we put on our final shows. But what the last year taught us was that if you are a little bit more, if you think more laterally, you can give the kids more of an opportunity to spend more time performing. The theatre is fantastic, but it does mean that only one group can ever perform at one time. You have a limited time allowed to you. So let's say a show is going to last 45 minutes to an hour. Whereas when we were working outside, they got to do their bit three or four times over the course of that period. There was something going on all over the place, and there was a real buzz of dynamism and people moving from one place to another. We had parents moving from one place to another, and we were keeping them all socially distanced. And it was a fantastic experience. So I think it's just taught us to not take things for granted, not to just keep doing the same thing you've always done because you think that's the way it should be done. So just challenge your thinking, I think, is what's come out of it. And that's nice. That's what Best Fest has come from.
Yeah.
The first thing we thought is, let's think about how do we re-engage with the St. Albans community? And how does the St. Albans community re-engage with their creativity? And this was the Best Fest was the result of that thinking. So hopefully more thinking like that will happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. It's such a brilliant idea. And I'm sure there are a lot of parents out there who are so grateful to you for what you've provided, and the continuity particularly and the outlet for children over the past 18 months. I mean, it's just brilliant. I mean,
it's kept us sane as well, though.
Yeah, but it's a really good thing, actually, when you say that about that, you know, challenging your thinking, and it's something that we can all learn from, isn't it? Which is, yeah, there can be some ways that perhaps I think it's also so easy to feel like as soon as restrictions are all lifted, we can all go back into our kind of taking things for granted. It's just a natural instinct, I think. But you're quite right to remind us that actually there can be something new that comes out of the way that we've adapted. And it sounds like it has for Best Theatre, which is brilliant news.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the other thing that the sad thing, I think, is about all of this is that, you know, looking at our classes at the moment, we know that over the course of those, you know, the last 18 months, that some of the kids who are with us at the beginning of that aren't here now. They've gone either doing other things. They just don't feel ready to come back yet. And we just want to reassure kids that, and the parents, that, you know, everything is fine. We're really doing everything we possibly can to be COVID safe. The classes are really buzzing, and the kids are really happy to be back. And if parents are looking for a way of getting their kids back up and running creatively again, then there is no better thing to do than theatre arts.
Yeah.
And whether that's with us or with other theatre arts companies, there's plenty of others around. Just get your kids back out there. They'll benefit hugely from what they're doing in terms of, you know, sociability and so sort of just generally feeling good about themselves. And goodness knows that's been hard for them over the last year or so.
Yeah, and I think it makes so much sense what you're saying, David, to get back out there, you know, as much as you can, because everybody, particularly the more recent lockdown, I think probably had the most dramatic effect on children in particular, in making them retreat and close their circles down.
Yeah, it was a fairly long, dark winter, I think.
Wasn't it?
The first lockdown was, you know, at least we had the weather.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, lovely to spend the time in the garden, whatever, and, you know, you could be out doing that. But the last one over the winter was, I think, was much, much harder for everybody. And so whereas, you know, we all called ourselves a beacon of light during it, now that we're out, I think it would be great for the kids to get back out there. And the theatre's a great thing to do. You know, sports, anything, but just get back out there. And, you know, providers like us, I think, are being sensible and are making things safe for everybody. And I think the kids will really, really benefit from it. And particularly, you know, just getting back out there before the summertime, just whilst we've got a chance before, you know, the non-summer holidays don't kick in.
And David, my interest is certainly sparked by everything you've said. So I assume bookings open for for September.
We're opening classes for September now, yes, as well. So besttheatrearts.com is where you'll find details of all of our classes. We've got a big show coming up at the Roman Theatre of Verulamium as part of the Maltings Theatre Festival, called Olympia Ganza, which is a very, very silly musical version of all of the Greek myths over the space of a couple of hours. It's done by our amazing youth theatre group, The Bite. And that promises to be just a rollicking good fun. So if you like open air theatre, it's a beautiful place to see theatre, the Roman Theatre.
I mean, it really is. I mean, I think we're really lucky to have that. And I think it's a bit of a secret, I think, in and around St Albans. But actually, the setting, and in the evening when the light is low and they have electric lights up hung around, it is really very beautiful. I can say that. So
there's all kinds of things going on there as part of the festival. Comedy of Errors is on at the moment. Winter's Tale is coming up. There are all sorts of visiting groups coming in. And we're there on the 5th and 6th of July. It's about the third or fourth time we've been to the festival. We've taken other things like The Birds there, which is a Greek comedy. We did Around the World in 80 Days a couple of years ago. And they have been absolutely tremendous successes. And so we're very, very pleased to be there again. Olympia Ganza is a very funny play. And the cast we have, the young people in our youth theatre group, are tremendously talented. And very well led by Lisa Schulberg and Dawn Hudson, who are our two directors.
I've one more question for you. How can we buy tickets for the theatre?
For the Roman Festival, it's maltingstheatre.co.uk. And you'll see all of the various different things in the festival there. So maltingstheatre.co.uk gets you to see Olympia Ganza at the Roman Theatre of Verulamium. besttheatrearts.com for any of our courses, for our September courses, and also for our summer holiday courses. We've got 3 weeks coming up. First week is the end of July, and then the first 2 weeks of August with different themes. The first one is Wonderland. The second one is Weightless, which is probably going to be a cross between Waitress and some sort of outer space thing. And then The Lost World, which is calling this Hunt for the Golden Unicorn. But the way in which we run our courses in the summer is that we give them a title, but then it's up to the kids what happens. They write the show.
Wow.
literally write the show. We sort of follow on desperately behind them with a computer trying to script what they're coming up with. But by the end of the week, they have a totally unique musical piece of musical theatre, which will never have been seen before and probably never be seen again. But it's fantastic fun, really fun. So that's happening in the summertime.
That's brilliant. So much going on, David. I can hardly keep up with you, but we've got three important websites. We'll put them on our Parents Show Facebook page so everybody can kind of get booking is the answer.
Yep, get booking. We're all booking now. In the summertime also, sorry, I completely forgot. In the summertime, we also have classes for 3 to 5 year olds. Again, they're 10 till 4 each day for 3 weeks. So, and we accept childcare vouchers as well, which is a help for any working parent.
Absolutely. And that's another group that really need to get back out there, get socialising. Yeah. And honestly, I can't think of a better activity than some theatrical arts. It sounds fantastic. David, it's been really brilliant to talk to you. Thanks so much for what you've done over the last 18 months to keep our kids entertained and stimulated, and we wish you only the best for the coming year.
Thank you, Lydia. Thank you, Seema.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And that's just about it from the Parents Show this evening. Our thanks to our guests this evening. You just heard from David Bevan from Best Theatre Arts and earlier from Lena Gardner from Raiden Solicitors. Thanks to our presenters, Lydia El-Khoury and Seema Barker.